This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
It is World Series Eve in New York City. Tomorrow night, game one of the Fall Classic. We are going to be on the air every time there's a World Series game, right up until the pregame show. We're going to give you a very special extended Yankee pregame coverage. So tomorrow's show will be a 5.5-hour show all the way up until 7:25. That's when the official Yankee pregame show starts. Yankees-Dodgers, game one of the 2024 World Series. And tomorrow, right here on this station, and starts all the way in the morning with Boomer and Geo. It continues with BT and Sal, and it will continue with us. A chance to be in the building for Game 3 of the World Series. It's a golden opportunity. We know what the secondary market looks like. In fact, we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But you will have a chance to win tickets to see Yankees Dodgers in person right here on WFAN.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. We are on World Series Eve, and I think we'd all agree, if the Yankees are going to win this World Series, there is a moment that hasn't happened yet in our lives that will happen that we'll talk about forever, likely a big home run. I'm going to give you, to me, my five favorite Yankee World Series home runs of my lifetime.
Oh, okay.
All right. Now, Tiki probably isn't aware of a few of these or has seen them in...
No, Tiki's aware they took away his back page.
Right, exactly. Yes. You, though, Evan, I expect you to have scored all these games, so let's see.
All right.
Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
Jim Larritt's Game 4, 1996. Obviously, we all know the story. Yankees had trailed 2-0 in the series, won that epic pitching duel in Game 3. Game 4, there's a reason this, though, sits at number five for me. It's the only one of these I fell asleep for.
Oh,
how old were you again?
9 or 10.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. I was 13, man.
And remember, I hadn't experienced the Yankees winning yet. To this day, my dad will never, ever let me live that down. Anytime there's a game going late, I could be 36 years old. He could fall asleep on this one like Larritt. And I will never do that again. But Jim Larritt, I mean, everybody remembers that at this point.
Yeah, I was going to say, as soon as you said it, that you could argue that's number one.
Right, right.
You could absolutely make
but
that
for
argument.
For me, I can't honestly put it there because I fell asleep.
What time at night was that really, though? Like, I know,
you know
when you're 13,
know.
Or in your case, 9, it feels a lot later than it was.
Yeah.
I'm going to do some research. I'm going to find out what time that was.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Go for it. Here we go.
Number 4.
Number 4 is Game 4 2000 World Series, the very first pitch of the game.
Son of a bitch.
Bobby Jones of the Mets throws a pitch, smacked out of Shea by Derek Jeter. The momentum the Mets had gained in hopes of, you know, continuing to tie this series was immediately gone, thanks to the captain.
That's a killer, bro.
It was a great home run.
I mean, that is an absolute killer, because... Not, there's so many things. Like you mentioned, the momentum of the Mets finally winning a game. Bobby Jones, you know, had finally, he'd always been a top Met prospect, had always been a very average pitcher. He throws that incredible one-hitter in the postseason earlier that year. That turned out to be his final start as a New York Met. He was gone after the end of the season.
That's a shame.
And the light bulb's going off. The feeling in my stomach, I can still feel. That's how painful that was. And the rest of the game was like a slow death. Joe Torre goes to David Cone to get Denny Nagel out of the game so that he could face Mike Piazza. Oh, I wanted to puke.
And you know how you could tell that World Series was a long time ago? Evan referenced light bulbs going off.
Well, it was the camera lights.
I know, but you don't really see that anymore, even with the flashes.
By the way, I'm going to give it to you. So that Yankee-Brave game, Game 4 of the World Series, the Larritt's home, 8:08 first pitch, so nothing's changed.
Right. Nope.
The totality of that game took 4 hours and 17 minutes.
So it's about 12:30 the game ended. So probably 11:30 that home run?
So Larritt hits the home run in the eighth inning. Game ends, you know, two innings later.
96.
So
you weren't even in the NFL.
No. Yeah, I was gonna say it's about 11.
Tiki was at a kegger in Virginia.
That's a good point.
About 11 o'clock. That's a long 19.
Nah,
and by the way, I also
day
gave
of the week
up.
Was it?
That was a Wednesday night.
Wednesday night. And remember, the Yankees had already lost two games that series. I flat out gave up. I said, damn, go to bed.
You didn't give up.
Nah, football season was still going on.
Yeah.
I was having just a couple of drinks, not a kegger.
All right,
Number three is in the 2009 World Series. It's actually the A-Rod Game 3 Halloween night. For those that don't remember, this game was delayed basically an hour to start. Mm-hmm. It starts at 9:17 on Halloween night. The Yankees are down 3-0 in the fourth inning. A-Rod hits a two-run bomb that hits a camera, bounces back into the field of play. It becomes the first ever home run in World Series history to be changed on video replay. And that was the moment with A-Rod in that World Series where I felt like, all right, A-Rod has this big World Series home run. They go on, of course, to win the World Series.
How about that? I don't even remember that that much.
Really? I loved it. I loved it.
Was
it
that, every game?
Was it that camera that overturned it?
Well, I mean, they had the shot.
That's what I mean.
Drilled. Yeah, they were showing it. Yeah,
the camera.
Right. And A-Rod was doing the immediate home run. It was a big night. I loved it. All right, here we go.
Number two.
It's Mr. November. Now, this is number one had the Yankees actually won the 2001 World
Series.
That's
a good call by you. Can't make it number one.
Can't make it number one, but it capped a thrilling comeback win for the Yankees in Game 4 in a night amongst a couple nights there that this city certainly will never forget.
You know, I'm glad you said that because when you talk about memorable home runs, and I'm going to be an IBO when I say this, it's very difficult to match the home runs that were hit to come back and tie Games 4 and 5 of that World Series.
Right.
But they lost the World Series.
Right.
And so I'd even wrestle with that. Like, how high can I put it? Yet, it is the most memorable.
Right.
I can tell you right now,
this
isn't either
of the most times.
Memorable.
This was Jeter winning it, too.
That was the other one. Right. That's not even, to me, as memorable as the other two.
Right.
But what number are you up to?
That was number two.
So you're not even including those.
No, I'm not.
You have a completely inept.
I cannot.
Brocious and Tino's home runs.
I cannot in good conscience
with
do that.
With two outs in the ninth inning.
No, you're right. And they were unbelievable. But to me, when I think about that World Series, it's still the idea that the clock struck midnight. It's Derek Jeter. He hits the home run.
But hold on. If they win that World Series, wouldn't Alfonso Soriano's homer be number one?
Alfonso Soriano doubled to the gap.
You're talking about different plays.
Yeah. Okay.
Soriano had a game-winning hit, yes. In one of the World Series games. Yeah. What Tommy's referring to is the home run he hit in Game 7 that gave them the lead that Mariano Rivera blew.
I'm sorry, I had my mind.
But I'm asking you right now, would that be one?
By the way.
Yes.
The list could be five home runs from that series.
Had they won the series. I still can't believe the Yankees lost that series. I'm not being a jerk. I'm dead serious. Okay.
Is that going down like Pete Alonso's home run?
No, I still think that
Tiki did that.
I'm a Yankee fan, I could still look at that series and be like, you know what, with everything going on, like that was still like an amazing run.
They also had won three straight championships.
And you lost with Mariano. Think about how many times you won with him. I'm not being a jerk. Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm being fair here. The Yankees have had a lot of moments. I cannot put multiple home runs from World Series they lost.
By the way, just to answer Tommy's question, because it's a very easy one. If they had won the World Series, yes. The game-winning home run in Game 7 would have been number
one.
But
Sean didn't say that. He said had they won the series, Jeter's homer would have been one. That's why
he'd be wrong about
that. Hold on, though. You got to remember, Tommy, I'll be honest with you. They lost Game 7. They didn't lose Game 4. When you said Soriano, my mind went to the game-winning hit.
You're right. It's a trick.
I wasn't processing the home run hit in Game 7.
Finish the list. I apologize.
All right, here we go.
Number one.
It's Tino's Grand Slam Game 1, 1998.
Yeah.
All right. The game is tied. It got tied. The Yankees were losing. The bases are loaded in the seventh. Tino rips that ball to the right field upper tank. And it was at that moment, at 11 years old, that I fully grasped what beer was. Because I had never seen so much thrown up in the air at once. And when I close my eyes and I think about memorable moments, period, at Yankee Stadium, I picture that Tino home run.
So I've got two off the top of my head that I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just going to bring up to you.
Just add.
Chad Curtis hit a World Series game-winning home run.
Yep.
Not World Series clinching.
Right.
A game-winning home run in a World Series. I think they were already up 2-0.
Yeah.
So maybe that takes a little juice away. No,
I was trying to exclude Chad Curtis.
Why? Because he's a bad guy?
Yeah.
John Wetland's a bad guy. Just bet money on a closer winning the World Series MVP.
That's a little different.
You can refer to them.
But that doesn't have anything to do with what Sean's doing.
That's all. I chose to make a personal exclusion.
Because Chad Curtis is a bad guy?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the other one. And this one jumps out at me. I'm surprised it doesn't for you.
Okay.
2009.
All right.
Game 6.
Matsui.
Yes. Hideki Matsui hits a two-run home run against Pedro Martinez Game 6 against the Phillies. Maybe the loudest the new Yankee Stadium had ever been. And that's when you knew it. Certainly when I knew. Well, Yankees are winning the World Series.
I think.
Maybe I knew it a few innings later when Matsui ripped home a base hit and drove in a bunch of runs also. I mean, Hideki Matsui was the king. Obviously, was the World Series MVP.
So, if you notice, I tried to obviously spread this out. There was no double ups from any World Series.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of my thinking here. And maybe it's my bias for A-Rod, but for me, that was A-Rod game three in Philly. Yes, he's really doing this. They're down 3-0. It felt like a much bigger deal to me than Matsui.
Fair enough. I'm with you on the Tino one against Mark Langston, because what really killed me about that, because I was at my peak of disliking the Yankees, the 98 team, they won 114 games.
Right.
Tino struck out on the 2-2 pitch. He struck out. The inning was over. But I'm sorry. I'm explaining it to you.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
He was playing football.
Yes.
He was upset that that
not
became...
Not paying attention. That was more important than whatever I did that Sunday.
Exactly. And that may have been a Sunday if you fact check. Yeah. It may have been. The 2-2 pitch struck Tino out. Tino's even admitted it. He knows it. Ah, struck out. Umpire misses it. Next pitch. Boom. Right field corner, Yankee Stadium. Good night. Grand slam. See you guys later.
So does it bother you
game
that that
of
wasn't
errors.
A strikeout?
Say it one more time.
It's a game of errors.
It is a game of errors.
Does it bother you that that wasn't a strikeout?
Yeah.
Why?
Okay. That's as much a strikeout as Johan's no-hitter.
Exactly, and that's why you're stupid for bringing that up.
No, you're stupid.
Did Tino Martinez hit a grand slam?
Yes.
Ask me.
Did Tino Martinez hit a grand slam?
Yeah. I'm just mad they missed a call.
Okay.
Did the Yankees win the World Series in 1998?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't dispute the existence of it.
Did
you do?
Did the Mets win the game that Johan Santana pitched a no-hitter?
He
and go
pitched
ahead and
a
ask
no.
Me.
That's not the question.
They won the game.
Did Tino hit a grand slam?
He's not disputing the fact that they won the game.
Yeah, but he's
just disputing the facts of how he won the game.
Johan got 27 outs. I'm not disputing 27 outs. This way I'm not disputing Tino hitting the home
Tino
run.
Tino should have struck out if the umpire made a correct call. Beltran should have had a double if the umpire made a correct call.
Right. Yeah.
The umpire screwed up. Right. We live with the consequences.
Right, that's it.
Okay, so Johan pitched a no-hitter, and Tino hit a grand slam.
Johan got 27 outs.
And Tino hit a grand slam.
Yep.
So, like, we just have to find our common ground.
It sounds like you agree to disagree.
Well, yeah, that's very much so, too.
We can dislike a bad call, like I'm doing, but also understand that the call was made. We have to live with it.
No, you're disliking a bad call when it's against the Yankees. You're liking a bad call when it benefits the Mets.
Of course. That's what being a fan is, though.
It's also being an H.Y. hypocrite.
No, it's not. I'm not saying the Yankees didn't hit a grand slam. I'm saying it annoyed me. Hey, watch this. I'm going to show you some unbiasedness.
Okay.
Even though Yankee fans never think about this game, and we loser Met fans always do. The Matt Franco game, the regular season game the Mets and Yankees played in 1999, Matt Franco struck out on an 0-2 pitch from Mariano Rivera. The umpire missed the call.
Oh, did he?
Called it a ball. Absolutely. I'd be the first. I'm raising my hand.
Sorry.
He struck out.
I don't remember that. We remember the postseason moments.
I set myself up for this. I'll go back to Tommy and Tiki on this since you're relevant to this conversation. I acknowledge that.
And I'm just going to believe whatever you say.
So. Yeah, Tiki doesn't know. Tiki's like, whatever you say. It's July of 1999. I couldn't give a rat's ass about your loser baseball game. He struck out.
I was in Anguilla, probably.
Anguilla? You were where?
In Anguilla. It was the offseason.
That's not a real place.
Anguilla isn't a real place.
Is it?
Yeah.
Great snorkeling.
Where?
It's in the Caribbean.
Anguilla?
Yeah, it's a British territory, I think.
I got to be honest with you, bro. I've never heard of that place.
Because you can't drive to it and there's no presidential museum.
I've heard of Barbados. I've heard of the Cayman Islands.
Well, that's because
not the Cayman Islands. It's not Kramer from Seinfeld.
I've heard of Cuba.
Cavemen did not live there.
I said Cayman.
Oh, got it.
I've heard of the Dominican Republic. I've heard of many islands. I've never heard of Anguilla.
It's east of Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands and directly north of St. Martin.
Loogie, swear on this. You've never heard of that place.
No, I'm looking at Wikipedia. I've heard of St. Martin and Virgin Islands.
You've never heard of that place.
Mm. Anguilla? You know what? Never. That's why I looked it up.
Evan also never saw a relief pitcher come from Anguilla. So
you've never heard of Anguilla either.
Yes, I have, because I travel the islands.
You've been to Anguilla?
Never, but it was on a thought, do we travel? And then a little out of the price range when I was working at Subway.
Speaking of price range, I'm glad you brought this up. So I had a buddy of mine text me this question, and it's such a loaded question, and it's worth examining and having an open conversation on this. So the secondary market for Yankee World Series tickets is insane.
You're talking in New York, or you're talking in L.A., or both?
Both.
Both.
Both. I mean, honestly, right now, it is over $1,000 to get in to either stadium.
Though the get-in price, not like,
get in,
I'm getting a good seat, but just to get in the door, secondary market right now is over $1,000, whether you're in Los Angeles or you're in the Bronx.
In fact, I want to give you Yankee Stadium, since that probably matters more. The get-in price for Game 3, tickets we're going to be giving away on this radio station tomorrow, so you can only imagine what's going to happen to our phone lines, and we'll be doing that in the mornings, the middays, and with our program. And I advise you, especially based on what we're about to talk about, this is a really good idea. The get-in price for limited viewed standing room seats. Standing room! Limited view! Is $1,400 a ticket.
Oh, man.
I'm not screwing with you. I'm not kidding you. If you're like, all right, can you give me like a seat where I can sit down? Now you're at $1,469 per ticket, and it's section 410 all the way upstairs in the right field corner. These are the prices. And look, I have to be fair about this. I'm a capitalist. Like, it's just, it is what it is.
There's nothing you can do about it. The secondary market is going to put numbers out there that they think people are going to accept.
And not only that, the prices that the Yankee, and it's not the Yankees, so I don't want to frame it like it's their fault, Major League Baseball puts out there, was already over $1,000, right? I think if you're a season ticket holder, you certainly got major discounts, which you deserve.
Depending on your level of season ticket, whether you're full season ticket or half or 14 game or whatever the heck the number is.
Absolutely. I certainly know what my prices would have been if the Mets actually pulled this off. So I know full well that you do get a break and you deserve that. No doubt about it. If you're a Yankee season ticket holder, God bless you guys, gals. You deserve that. But I also understand why this is going on. Like, it's a hot ticket. So it's one of those things where I'm not going to bitch about it. We can't bitch about it. It's just what should happen. I mean, the tickets cost a lot of money. There's a huge demand for them. It's like Knick tickets. They're just really, really expensive. So one of my friends says, I don't know what to tell my wife. I want to go. I didn't go in 2009. What's the number? And I'm like, bro, this is really, really tough. Because Craig asked me a question a few years ago, in which he said, Evan, how much are you willing to pay to see the Jets in the Super Bowl? And I gave an answer. And I calculated it, and I said, okay, $10,000 a ticket.
$10,000?
I did.
To see the Jets in the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Are you kidding? So why is it worth that much money?
Because...
won't you be just as fulfilled and satisfied if you see it at home?
No.
Or go to wherever the host city is and experience the Super Bowl week, watch it at some watch party that's going on locally, and then celebrate with everybody else when a game is over and save your $10,000 or spend it staying in the Four Seasons and getting spa treatments at halftime. Like, doesn't that sound like a more beneficial use of $10,000?
I have
a
not
ticket.
I have not even spent the money, and Tiki's very mad at me.
Of course I am. That's because ludicrous.
What's your answer?
I don't know.
It's very different, but like, a chance to, yeah, I can't ask you this question.
You're right, because
you've been to Super Bowls for free.
Right. I went because my brother went. And I covered it for NBC. Right, I covered it for CBS.
You're right. And look, I've been to a Super Bowl for free, too. Very different, but with a credential to see the Giants. Yeah, yeah. I'm also not a Giant fan.
Right.
Sean Morash. And the reason I bring up the Super Bowl, there's a relevance to this.
Okay.
That I'm going to get to. How much would you pay to see the Giants in the Super Bowl? If Tiki came to you and said, I can get you tickets, you just got to be honest with me. How much you want to pay? I'll see if I can get that tier for you.
$850.
Are you serious? So you're never going to see the Giants in the Super Bowl?
No.
Okay, that's fine. I respect that.
I'd ask Tommy the question, but he doesn't pay money for tickets.
I was also going to ask you where the game would be. Like, if it's in Vegas, I'd go up a little more. But
really?
If it was in, like, Atlanta or something. Nah. Town, I don't want. Oh, Minnesota.
Your team's in the Super Bowl. Why would that
matter? No, but the Giants have been in the Super Bowl before.
I do think this plays into it, too. Maybe it's different for me. Maybe it's different for you. I like to watch the Giants are family for me. You know what
I mean? Gotcha, gotcha.
So if it's just a pair of tickets with one person.
Yeah, you don't want to be by yourself there.
I need to experience it with who that run would mean a lot for me, and that's not possible.
I got you. I get that, and I respect that. I think the problem I'm having trying to figure this out is the Super Bowl's a game. It's one game, and I know I'm getting my outcome.
Yes.
And I think the predicament that the Yankee fan is in is, first of all, what game are you picking? Mm. 3, 4, 5, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And number two, are you saying to yourself, I need to see a clincher? Because the odds are you're not seeing a clincher, because the only clinching possibilities are game four and game five. And while it could happen, of course, it's not the likeliest scenario.
Yeah.
So when I say I'm willing to pay an absurd amount of money, and by the way, maybe that figure's changed. A few years have gone by. I don't know. My wife is probably like, yeah, we're not doing that.
Right.
6,000, maybe. We're not doing 10.
6,000? That's just a lot of money.
Though. I don't want to tell you what. Nah, I'm not going to get into this. I had bought tickets for a potential Yankee Subway World Series. And I spent the money. Luckily, I was able to, you know, get it back.
You get it back because it's not happening.
Right. And it's just me. Like, the priority is there that I would be willing to spend a certain amount of money. But what makes this difficult for the Yankee fan, and for me if I was in this spot, is it's not one game.
Yeah. Like, football is different. And so the number is higher because it's a one-off. And for the Super Bowl, because it's in one location and there's stuff going on for a few days leading up to it, it's almost like a vacation.
Right.
It is.
It's like going away to Anguilla, right? And you just have fun and it culminates at the Super Bowl. And so you can almost justify it in that regard. Like, this is a vacation. This is a winter vacation for us as of me and whoever you go with, or maybe even more. So whatever money you spend, it's vacation money.
Yes.
But a World Series is a series, and so it takes time, and like there might not be any fulfillment. Let's say you go to game three, and the Yankees just get their asses kicked.
You're 1,000%.
There's like no fulfillment.
Bro, that's the risk.
And it's a one-off.
It's a one-off. So you nailed a few of the things that really concerned me. So forget about the get-in price, because I think a lot of people would say, get-in price? I'm going to spend $2,800 for two tickets. I'm going to sit upstairs, and I'm going to have a view that's not even full. So I found, like, decent seats. Upper deck, by the way. So I'm not even going, like, legends. Upper deck seats, 319, row 2, reasonable behind home plate. Like, a very Evan-like seat.
Right, I was going to say, that's exactly where you would sit.
Right, but you'd admit not a high-end seat.
No, but a good seat.
The going rate is $3,300 a ticket. So you're going to drop $7,000 to go to said game. Here's the problem you run into. Tiki already laid it out. They lose 8-0. They lose 8. It's just a bad game. It happens. Here's the other thing you run into. You're going to the same place you've probably been to. You're not going to Vegas for the...
True.
You're going to Yankee Stadium. And Yankee Stadium is amazing and it's awesome, but you're going to a place that maybe you were at 3 months ago. And so what I feel bad about is that you are risking so much money on a game that A, could suck, B, be a forgettable game in the World Series, and then C, it's like, oh yeah, it was like that time I went in June. There was no difference. And that's where it is so risky, and I didn't know what to tell my friend on the amount of money. I was like, you just got to go with what your stomach says you're okay with. And that's different for every person. But it's a tough spot, man. Because look, we're going to give these tickets away tomorrow. I'm also not delusional. There's only a few people that are winning.
Yeah.
You know, so 99.9999999% of our audience are going to be like, all right, guys, I'm a diehard Yankee fan. What should I do besides listen to you guys hoping I win the tickets? And I wish I had a great answer because I want to be at the games. I'm like you. I'm willing to spend crazy money. But then my brain starts working and I'm like, I just dropped $8,000 and I lost 9-2. My wife's going to kill me.
But we've all been through this before. I have. I know Tiki has. Sean, Evan, maybe not so much. New Year's Eve. Right?
Yeah.
We go to this club all the time, but now it's New Year's Eve. It's more expensive. It's this, that, and the other. But it's for the experience. You're at a World Series game. You're paying for being at the World Series. You're paying to say you were at that. So it's worth it to say, I went to a World Series game. I went to the Super Bowl.
But the difference, it's a good stab at a comparative situation.
Thank you.
But the problem with New Year's Eve is that New Year's Eve is what you make it. So you're going to have fun if you want to have fun. If you just want to sit in the corner and bitch and moan because it's too crowded in Times Square and, and not have strapped the flask to your thigh and worry about peeing in corners and all that other stuff that goes on when you have to be sequestered in Times Square for 18 hours just to watch a ball drop that you could watch from a hotel room and have the comfort of, you know, anyways, right? Either way, you're making it whatever it is of yourself. Like, it's you. You're controlling your fun on New Year's Eve. Watching something that could be very unfulfilling is very different.
Right. Clark Schmidt has your fun in his hands.
Exactly right.
Now, I will also say this.
That's a good way to look at it.
It's been 15 years, so these World Series prices seemingly have slapped everybody in the face. If you believe that this is the start of something, even this goes for Met fans, the start of something where they can get back, now's the time to look at it, save a little money for future years, right. Maybe Bitcoin. Well, I don't know.
No, but here's the reality, and this is what we've talked about and around a little bit, but this is why you go sign, if you're the Dodgers, Mookie Betts, and you go get Freddie Freeman, and you spend $700 million on Shohei Ohtani. Because what happens is when you get those guys and you win a championship, let's just say that they do, the season tickets go up so high. The buying of season tickets ramps up so much. The same thing would happen for the Yankees. Season tickets would ramp up that this situation doesn't become an issue.
Yeah,
it becomes less of an issue.
Yeah, so it's you're right about this. It is much less of an issue if you're a season ticket holder.
100%.
Now, I don't want to say they're cheap. They're not cheap, World Series tickets. But they're a lot cheaper than what I'm describing.
Yes. Now, if you're a season ticket holder, though, you've already spent a good amount of money into the product.
Right. And you hope you got some of it back in the resale market.
Yes.
The legal resale market. Right. You may not have.
Right. You're not going to all 82 or the games or whatever the packages that you pick, or 81 of the games. Whatever package you pick, you're probably not going to all of them. But if you have them, this conversation is a lot easier to swallow.
100%. And, you know, there have been many times I've been tested as a season ticket holder where people will ask me, why are you still a season ticket holder? And there's two reasons. Number one, I like going to games.
Right.
I like taking my family to games.
And it's your job to go to games.
That's true, but I don't necessarily... Don't tell my wife. I don't necessarily need the season tickets to do my job, but it helps. I agree. It does enhance it. It helps it, no doubt about it. But the other thing is, I never want to be on the outside.
Mm.
So, like, I always knew during the Met run, well, I got my tickets for the World Series.
Yeah.
And while they're really expensive, they're not as expensive as what this resale market is. It sucks. And I think it's a very difficult decision that each individual has to make on what they're willing to spend. But I get the concern, especially when it's 3, 4, 5. Like, if the Yankees hit a home field advantage, I think it gets a lot easier. What I would say is Game 6, Game 7, buy it. No question. It is worth it. You'll never bleep and forget it. First of all, if Game 7 never happens, you get your money back.
Yep.
So, all right, you laid it out for a week and a half. And Game 6 is guaranteed to be someone trying to win.
Yeah.
Either you're trying to win or you're trying to lose. I think when it's 3, 4, 5, it's tougher.
Yeah.
Because like Game 3, not that it isn't a big game, but
they could be meaningless. Not meaningless, but not impactful on the finality of the series.
You just don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know what it'll be. Maybe Sean's all over it because he's a gambling man, and he's obviously a diehard Giant fan. I did not realize that the New York Giants have been underdogs for 23 consecutive weeks.
Yeah. Thank you, Carolina. That's why it's not the longest
streak. That's unbelievable. 23 straight weeks. So last year, the Giants were favored in one game. That was the game against Washington.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, the game against Arizona early in the season. The game in which they had to make that great comeback.
Right, with Talen Hyatt.
With
right? Was that Hyatt?
Hyatt had the big play.
The big touchdown. Right.
Yeah. That was it. Daniel Jones played great. You want to know why? Because it was in Arizona.
Yeah.
Was that MetLife Stadium?
He didn't play great in the first half.
No, he did not. But in the second half, led this great comeback. Sean was pumped up. Giant fans are happy. That's the last time they were favorites. So they've been favorites for 23 consecutive weeks.
Mean dogs.
I'm sorry, underdogs. Isn't that freaking nuts?
Yeah, it's almost unbelievable to think that, and especially given some of the really bad teams in the NFL.
Right.
But honestly, the Giants have been that.
Exactly. And think about this. Carolina's the only team with a longer streak. They play each other in Munich in a couple weeks.
Yes.
And I was favored in that game.
I would think the Giants are. Like, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt that your streak is ending, because if it doesn't end against Carolina in Germany, you look at the rest of the Giants' schedule, they're not going to be favored again. Like, that is literally going to be the one game they're favored in. Obviously, they're dogs in Pittsburgh.
There'll be dogs against Washington at home. Obviously, Jaden Daniels playing or not affects that line greatly, but even if he doesn't play, I think they're dogs. Home against Tampa, despite their injuries, dogs. By the way, Todd Bowles did nothing wrong. I'm going to come to his defense. People got to stop with this. I lived in a world.
The Chris Godwin thing. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why it's BS and it actually pisses me off. Because I've ripped Todd Bowles, okay? And I own my rippage of him. And what was my biggest rip at Todd Bowles, Tommy? Do you know what it was?
I don't.
He quit on games. He did. And it bothered me. And what I appreciate about Todd Bowles, you learn from your mistakes. He didn't quit on that game. He was battling to the very end. Todd Bowles, you owe nobody an apology. I support you if that means anything.
But they lost Mike Evans earlier in the game.
What does that mean? Was the game over?
No.
Was the game over?
Yes, it was.
No, but was the game over?
Not literally over, but you lost your best receiver after losing your other best receiver earlier in the night.
Todd learned from his mistakes, and I respect the hell out of that. I do.
Yeah, I don't think there's something to blame. You can get hurt on any play in the NFL. We always say this, the cliche, and sometimes it's often on the player. Right, if you think you're in a compromised position, get out, like, do something about it.
Yeah,
but I can't put that on the head coach.
No, he's trying to win the game, man.
I agree.
And he spent way too many times, in my opinion, unfortunately, punting when he was quitting. And I respect that he was trying to win a football game. I commend him for that.
I actually back Todd Bowles too, but I do have to just play the hypocrisy test with you for a second.
What have I done?
No. I don't know if you've done anything, but I trust that you're going to answer this honestly because it's an ongoing theme on the show. You have stated the case, mathematics in leaving a game. If Evan Roberts was a Bucs fan, would he have left by that?
I would not have left that
game. Okay. As long as you're consistent.
No question, I would not have left that game.
The Ravens also pulled Lamar and Derrick Henry, so they thought it was over.
Well, that's on them.
Okay.
You're asking me my opinion on that?
No, I'm just telling you that the game is over.
Well, I think it's different when you're down. As long as you have a chance and you're trying, I think you've got to try. And I don't have any problem with that. Either way, my point is the Giants would be dogs against everybody.
Right.
Carolina is the one game where rest easy, Sean. I think you're the favorites against the Panthers.
Yeah. Also, now that we're just quickly bringing up 2 seconds, Giants-Panthers. Remember Darius Slayton's first down point that he got penalized for?
Yeah, in Seattle.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Why'd he get penalized?
Because he was doing a gun thing like Alan Lazard did.
Today, the NFL announced that performing at halftime of Giants-Panthers in Germany is Machine Gun Kelly. Could you be more tone-deaf then? Could we not be putting flags on the field, please?
What?
They're calling penalties on guys for making gun pointing while then bringing in a guy who's naming himself Machine Gun to perform halftime at an international series. It's NFL hypocrisy and it's bullcrap.
I don't know if I agree with you. I know we like to find the hypocrisy, and I'm with you on that, but you're just searching too hard.
Okay. We'll agree to disagree. Hopefully Megan Fox is at the game as well.
Are they still together?
Yes. I still think they drink each other's blood or whatever else.
I thought she was with David Silver from 90210.
Wait, Megan Fox is with this Machine Gun Kelly?
They were dating forever. I thought they still were. Maybe
I thought Megan Fox was hooking up with the famous David Silver, also known as Brian Austin Green, from 90210. I thought they were hooking. I thought they were together.
He's more known as Brian Austin Green.
Am I that old? Machine Gun Kelly's like a real thing?
Yes.
What?
He's actually, I know who he is.
He was just at SummerSlam in Cleveland.
Yeah.
That's why, because you guys saw a
wrestling. That's not fair. Why'd you even bring that up? I knew Machine Gun Kelly for other reasons. I don't know why. I just heard of him.
No, just for the audience that maybe isn't aware of
him. I know, but now Sean thinks the only reason I knew who he was because he was at a wrestling event.
No, I know you know who he is because of Brian Austin Green and 90210.
That's the real reason I know. Because I know that Brian Austin Green was hooking up with Megan Fox, which I always found like awkward. Like, what does Donna think about that?
I don't know. I just rewatched that Chris Godwin injury. It's a minute and four left.
Yeah.
They're on their 25-yard line after kickoff. It's a deep end, 20-yard completion. Like, if they get up and get, I don't know, 30 more yards, they kick a field goal, onside kick, and maybe who knows?
Game's not over.
The game is definitely not over at that point. If it's three scores, you know what? Concede, wave the white flag.
No, it's Sean actually asked a great question. He was trying to play got you with me, but he's right. When a game is mathematically over.
That game was not mathematically over.
Bingo. It's not mathematically over. I would have never have left that game. Would I have been confident? No.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I didn't shut off last night's basketball game I happened to watch. I'm not mentioning the team name because that's not nice to because no one cares.
Okay.
But I kept watching to the very end, and you know, if the guy Knick fans hate, bleep Trey Young misses a free throw, I got a shot. You know?
The Nets still in the league?
Not really, honestly. I didn't feel like it watching them last night. Let's go to Jay in Miller Place. How are you, Jay?
Good. How you guys doing? Thanks for taking the call.
Pleasure, man.
I appreciate
appreciate the time today. Tiki, love you. Giants fan, die
hard. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
I going back to the earlier, even though about Todd Bowles, and I do agree, you got to play to win the game, right?
Right.
You play to try to win the game. So I kind of can understand it. I know people are upset and there's comments from reporters, but I understand it. You got to play to win the game. But from a Giants perspective, just one that's going on, you know, you talked about tanking and the tanking leaderboard.
The tankathon, yeah.
Tankathon. We had this experience last year in regards to, you know, should they tank? Should they start losing? They kept winning a little bit. What do you guys think now at this point in the season when everyone's talking about a quarterback again?
Yeah, it's interesting, Jay, because last year, tanking is a weird word because
players don't do it.
Exactly right.
It's ridiculous.
And who was the former coach of the Blazers? I'm forgetting his name now. We had
so many options.
Yeah, I know, but we had him on our show.
PJ Carlissimo.
No, it wasn't PJ, but it was
Stotts.
Like, maybe it was Stotts.
I think Terry that's right. Stotts, that's
Terry
what you
Stotts. Because we had a conversation, because they were in a season where it was just bad. And so we had them on our show, me and BT, right. And we were talking about, you know, is losing good to, you know, and he said no, and it's not like we're trying to lose, but we're playing young players.
Right.
And so it's almost like he was saying, inevitably, we're going to lose because we're playing stars versus 21-year-old G League players, but... And it wasn't because he was sitting out his vets. It was just the reality of their roster.
Right.
And so is that tanking?
No.
It's not.
No, I don't think it is. I agree.
It's playing young players just to see if they can be viable, whatever, bench roles or et cetera. The Giants did that last year. Like, think about the guys that were out and hurt and, all right, Tommy DeVito, undrafted free agent who has a cool little hand thing, but... Who are you? Nobody knew who the hell Tommy DeVito was until he played. And guess right. what? He played well.
Yeah.
Like, you learned something about him. Were the Giants tanking? No. But could you have construed it if you looked at Tommy DeVito as your starting quarterback and said, nah, they're not even trying. Look who they're starting. Nobody knows who this kid is. Look at what they're trying to do.
Yeah, you're 1,000% right, by the way. And I hate the word tank. I think it should be just banned because I think it's used too right. liberally. And it's used in a way that's not, like, truthful.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to give you an example of exactly what you said, just me being a Jet fan, not thinking about tanking. It kind of annoys me when Sean brings up Bryce Petty's name and he kind of puts mud all over it.
Ayahuasca Bryce Petty.
Yeah, he makes fun of Aaron Rodgers.
2-5.
Bryce Petty was the kind of guy that Joe and I screamed about, we need to see him play.
Yeah.
Now, we weren't saying that because we wanted to lose. We weren't saying that because we thought Bryce Petty would be a star. We were saying it, and it makes perfect sense, on, hey, we're done. We're not winning.
Yep.
Let's see what we have. That's not the same as tanking.
No.
That is, it's the point Giant fans will get to, where they're like, you know what? I already know Daniel Jones sucks. Let me just see more of Tommy DeVito. That's not necessarily tanking.
Yeah.
That's saying, let me just find it. Or yeah. Let me use left tackle as an example. You've brought it up a lot. Why not play Evan Neal over there? There comes a point where you're like, let me just see if this guy is any good.
Yeah, I think the Giants are still a couple of weeks away from that.
I agree. I don't think they should be right. at that point yet.
They're probably 3 weeks away from
but that. But that's not tanking.
It's not tanking.
That's
it's just
different.
We're playing. You guys wouldn't play if we were competing because you're not good enough and our starters were healthy. And if they were healthy, we wouldn't be in this situation anyways. So I think they're a few weeks away from that. But I do think if they don't get this thing right, then that's what's going to happen.
You don't think I would say that about the Jets at some point? Like, if they've got to like 8 or 9 losses and they're out of it, and this season really spirals, you don't think I'm going to come on the radio? Not because I want to lose games. I don't feel that way. I sat there last night watching a quote-unquote tanking basketball team.
Yeah.
Sean will tell you, I want them to win. I was, like, pissed off when they didn't win.
Hard fouls, baby.
I don't feel like that way as a sports fan. Like, I want my team to win. But I also make the decision of, all right, we're going nowhere. Let me see what young guys have. Let me just see Fashanu start at left tackle.
Right.
Let me see what I got here. Let me see. And I think that's far different than rooting for your team to lose. And by the way, whenever we have the tanking discussion, here's really, if we want to be smart about it, it's not about the coaches. That's why I think Tommy's nuts. It's not about the players. It's about us.
Mm.
It's about when you sit down in front of your TV, what do you want to have happen? We don't control anything, but that's the only thing and only place where tanking matters because organizations and players and coaches are not doing it.
No.
They're not. It's us as fans saying, what do we prefer happen on a Sunday?
Right. But players will not co-sign it.
Hey, Sean, do you want the Giants to win Monday night?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
By the way, that's a fine answer.
Right.
If they lose on Monday night, are you going to want them to win the following week?
Yeah.
Okay. They lose again. Are you going to want to win the following week? I think that's the Carolina game.
Yeah.
So you're not tanking this year. Good to see.
Right. Well, no, and if they lose those three,
yeah,
and you're now your best is sub 500,
then he's going to want to do it.
Then you.
We'll see.
Right.
I want to win on Thanksgiving versus Dallas. I'm also at the point now. I think last year's different than this year. We're going to trade up with New England. So let them. All right.
Let's go to Chris in Connecticut. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how's it going?
We're good. Chris, before you continue real quick, I just want to say this. I want to tell everybody on the SNY side, stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York. It's presented by Tri-State Cadillac. That's coming up on next on SNY. We'll see everybody tomorrow at 2 o'clock. 4 o'clock. Chris, what's up? I'm sorry.
So I just wanted to disagree with you a little bit. I had to borrow money from my 401k, and I'm going to work an extra few years. But I just got my World Series tickets.
Nice.
And I chose Game 4 because I wanted at least to feel like there was a chance that they could clinch. But I think even if they get blown out, even if the Dodgers win that night, for me it's worth it because I've never been to a World Series game, and more importantly, it's the two best teams, the best players. And I think even if it's Shohei Ohtani's night, I'll still remember being there. And I think just being there and seeing the best players play on the best stage is worth every penny.
I think that, by the way, you're not disagreeing with me because I think it's one of those things where as individuals, you got to decide what you want to do. And I think your reasoning makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. Never tell you my first World Series game?
No.
It's going to surprise you.
What is it?
My dad knew. My dad was worried. My dad got me into baseball. I'm scoring every game. I love it. We're going to every Met game. And my dad kind of knew. He's like, the Mets may never get there. My son may never see a Met World Series. So my first World Series game was game one of the 1996 World Series. And we were at Yankee Stadium. And we watched Andrew Jones hit two home runs. And we watched John Smoltz throw a dandy. And Andy Pettit not be dandy. And the New York Yankees lose game one of the World Series by a final score of 12-1.
Did you get any joy from that loss?
Words cannot describe the joy that I got.
you and your dad.
I was a 13-year-old young man, young boy, if you will. And I didn't know better. I didn't hate the Braves at the time, too, by the way. 1996, they'd done nothing to me, in fairness.
Sure, okay.
I just want to clear that up. Like, why would I hate them? And we sat there, and when Andrew Jones was rounding the base, little did I know that that guy would torture me for the rest of my life. I had no idea. But, yeah, it was pretty cool. The silence was cool. And it was an experience I'll never forget. And the reason I bring that up, no. I'm not being a troll. The reason I bring that up is our last caller said, I've never been to a World Series game. Even if it's Ohtani's night, I'll remember it forever. And I'm not a Yankee fan, and I'm certainly not a Brave fan. And so that shouldn't be special to me, Sean. The Yankees won the World Series.
I was going to say, did you guys have a good chuckle a week later?
And all those guys, the Braves that I was rooting on, Sean, they all destroyed me in the next decade.
That's the only thing I would say.
So then I didn't get any last laugh. It's a reminder that our last caller's right, that you will never forget it, even if all of that stuff comes back and haunts you.
I think that's a perfect sentiment.
Thank you.
My only sentiment would be the Yankees and Braves are playing in the World Series. You know, I get having good bonding memories as Met fans. Could your father take me out to like an Outback Steakhouse for the night? You know, did you have to go see the World Series and sit there root against the Yankees that night?
I'm glad he took me. Can I tell you why?
Okay.
What if he didn't? What would my first World Series game have been?
Oh, in 2000.
Yeah. It would have been 2000 at Yankee Stadium and Jose Vizcaino getting a game-winning hit. That would have been my first World Series game. So you tell me, did my dad make a good decision or not?
Eh.
Eh?
So either you saw the Braves win a World Series game or the Yankees win a World Series game.
Yeah, well, okay. It was bad enough being in Yankee Stadium that night for game one, 2000.
Here's why your dad made a good decision. He allowed you to go see a World Series game before they cost $7,000 a ticket to get in.
Oh, my God. If I asked him, he probably still has the ticket stub. You know what? Because he collects ticket stubs. I got a lot of my OCD-ness from him. I would love to know the ticket price. And you know what's crazy? They were great seats.
My dad was a part of a plan. Like, this guy had season tickets at Yankee Stadium. They were great seats. He'd buy like three games a year because we would see the Yankees. Like, right. It's baseball. You know, it's fun. And they were amazing seats. I'm going to find out the face on it, and it's going to make us all sick to our stomach.
Unbelievable.
When he says it, when he texts me and says, yeah, $85. You know, 10 rows off the field. Yeah, whatever. I'll get you those numbers at some point. I appreciate it.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.